This is a fun one because I get to say lots of words that you don't get to say from the pulpit often enough, in my opinion. We begin with an abbreviated telling of the first Pentecost. Pentecost, as you may know, is considered to be the day in which the Holy Spirit was given to the church and therefore Christian community was created. And so we begin with that. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. There's more to the story, so you should probably read it on your own. But we then jump to Galatians, and I played a little fast and loose with what we were supposed to be reading here, but I think this is the way I was called to go. So here we go. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. This is where the fun part comes in. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. And so, this picture is, it's a little bit of graffiti in Brattleboro that I stumbled across not long after my spiritual director recommended to me that I consider as a phrase for my year, year, 2 years, whatever, to guide my life around the beginning of what we read, for it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. So that, I don't know, my spiritual director lives in Massachusetts, so I know she didn't spray paint that. Somebody did, though. Do you feel free? And so I ask you to pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I'm going to start this reflection, and it really is a reflection more than a sermon, by acknowledging that I have always had a somewhat uncomfortable relationship with Pentecost. I love the story of the language and the fact that a gift of the Holy Spirit relates to diversity, that Pentecost undoes the curse of the Tower of Babel story from the Old Testament. You'll remember, or if you don't, I'll remind you that way back in Genesis, early in Genesis even, the people of the earth who all spoke the same language were conspiring together to build a massive tower so big that they would be able to get to heaven, to see God face to face, to be on par with God in terms of the tiered universe. And frankly, to have more power and insight than God was willing to let them have. So God did a thing and diversified their language so they could no longer understand each other. And it's impossible to do a large building project when no one understands each other. So the plan fell to naught. And I have always loved the fact that in Pentecost, God undoes that, not by making the people go back to all speaking the same language. I'm convinced that God loves diversity, and this confirms it for me. But by making it that, despite the diversity of languages, the people could still understand everything, all in their own language. It's the undoing, not of the diversity, but of the confusion that came along with Babel. And yet, despite loving that very much, as I have said, I have a conflicted relationship with Pentecost. And the reason, I think, is that we have de-diversified our understanding of how the Spirit works. I think how this has happened is over time, there have become certain ways of depicting Spirit and fleshing out Spirit on Pentecost in your average mainline church that are of a certain way and that fit a certain style. I will say that John Frederick, who writes on the Working Preacher website, starts his reflection on this reading this week, saying that for many Christians and casual onlookers, Pentecost is a day associated with speaking in tongues and with a particular style of high-octane experiential charismatic Christianity. And to someone like our dear Pia, who I hope you don't mind me pulling you out, Pia, who I would say is a truly Pentecostal spirit amongst us, and she has that burning within her bright. We all see it every week. We all see it. It might feel like having declared that Pentecost is the day in which we celebrate the Spirit's gifts, we have limited ourselves to that one day in which maybe an outburst of spirited speaking in tongues might occur, right? By naming today as the day in which the Holy Spirit has free reign, we have implicitly named the other 364 days as being somehow not days of the Holy Spirit. And honestly, there are plenty of ways in which the mainline Protestant church could be seen to have diminished the Holy Spirit in that way. This is the day. Get it all out, folks. We're not going to be spirited at any other time. So it would seem to me to be a legitimate question is, have we limited the Holy Spirit by focusing so much on that? But that's not even my particular challenge. My challenge with Pentecost is that by defining what an encounter with the Holy Spirit does to a person, by attempting to describe it in definitive ways using our inherently limited human language, we have closed the door on actually having the Spirit giving it free rein to blow where she will, changing lives and hearts and landscapes in her holy and ineffable way. Somehow we are unable to be so radically open to God that we can let God decide what it means, what it looks like to be Spirit-led. And we have set down rules. This is what Spirit-led worship looks like. That is not. This is how the Spirit shows up. That couldn't possibly be it. Honestly, I have to say, it reminds me of early second wave feminism, for which I am very grateful, but in which there was a sense that there was one way to be a feminist, one way to be a strong woman, and that all other ways were wrong. That was a generational thing that I think we've grown out of. We try to pin the Holy Spirit down as all flame, as all gale-forced wind, right? And we forget that she appears more frequently in Scripture as breath, as peace, right? But that's a little harder to make into an exciting Pentecost service. And that, as for me, as someone to whom the Spirit usually comes in quiet and deep ways, rather than, as said above, in high octane ways, that has always made Pentecost joy for me and from me feel a little performative. Because that's not the way it works with me. So all I can say is how maddeningly human of us to try to define how the Spirit must look or act or impact us. And so The Spirit comes to Pia in art and in language and in joy. And the Spirit comes to me in quiet and in peace. And the Spirit may come to Cheryl in a commitment to working with the world and with children, with the earth, I mean, and with children. There's so many ways that the Spirit can show up. And it's not ours to define. It's ours to celebrate when we see it, but we have to really see it. So, and I have to say, my first thought on reading today's reading was frustration that we didn't get more of the Pentecost, the actual day of Pentecost story. It took me a while to resonate with where I was feeling called to go with what we did get from the narrative lectionary folks. For me, the shining jewel hidden in all the words of the first verse, all the words that we heard was the first verse of Galatians 5, the verse which, as I said, happens to be the one I chose in January as my personal focus for at least the coming year. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. It is for freedom. We have been set free, free to be fully human and fully the individuals that God has made us to be. There is no way that that is going to express itself in just one way of knowing holy and Pentecostal joy. There's just no way. We find ourselves at a time of trying to figure out what it will look like to be the church. I'm picturing that be and church, both in capitals, to be the church as our period of restricted pandemic living begins to shift towards more openness. As Pia noted last week, this is an opportunity. We have lived so long in certain habits, certain ways of being the church and of doing worship that it might feel really comfortable to just go back to what we've always done. But what if instead we were to be more open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit? The problem being, as I said, the Holy Spirit will communicate with each of us in different ways. So it's not as though there's one obvious and organized answer to how that will happen. But what if we were to be more open? Have we been fundamentally changed by the weird, hard year we've been through together? Have we learned anything new that we want to hold on to? Is the Spirit calling us to new ways of being on Sunday mornings or at other times of the week? Paul tells us in Galatians that living by the Holy Spirit will change our behaviors. The translation that I read, the NRSV, says, "Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh." But the actual Greek, which is used in various of the modern translations, also used more accurately in the King James in this version, uses a different verb form. More accurately, it should read, "Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." He's saying that living by the Spirit will change the way we are in the world. And this is good news. This is very good news that it's not that do this and don't do this. It's do this, live by the Spirit, and you won't even be tempted to do the things that are not okay. Now, a different preacher might spend the rest of the sermon talking about those desires of the flesh, either haranguing you about your human sinfulness, yours personally, because that's how it would sound, or perhaps parsing the ways in which Paul isn't actually saying we can't have the healthy versions of those activities. But I am not that preacher, not today, anyway. It seems far more burning to me to be reminded we have individually and collectively been set free by the coming of the Holy Spirit. Our task as a church is to never stop discerning how then we will live. We have been set free. How now will we live? We are each spoken to by the Holy Spirit in the language that is right for each one of us. And even on this day of fiery and ecstatic possibility, the Holy Spirit seems to speak quietly to me. I kind of wish it weren't true. I wish that what I got was all the pizzazz, but I just don't. And here is what she seems to say to me. Susie, she calls me Susie. Susie, do you feel free? My prayer is May God bless each one of us and all of us as a church to listen, to hear, to understand, and to risk transformation brought about by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I had a different benediction in mind, and then I stumbled across one by Maran Tirabassi just this very morning for Pentecost. And now, may your tongue tingle with the good news. May your heart open to all the people of the street. And when you are bent over by sorrow, may you find the Spirit's feather on the ground, waiting there to give you hope. Amen. May you go forth in peace to love and to serve.